It's the download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. The festivities at the Republican National Convention wrapping up tonight. We heard from Donald Trump's wife, Melania Trump, former mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani, some retired generals and colonels, and because this was the, the Make America, was it safe? Make America safe again? We missed most of it because we did a show tonight. So that's why we've got a number of great people to contact us tonight and let us know how the speeches went. You could do the same, 312-981-7200. Joining me on the line now, Charles Lipson. He's going to start us off, professor of political science at the University of Chicago. Professor Lipson, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Justin.
All right,
my
so what was the overall theme of tonight's festivities?
Make America safe again. So it was really about domestic policing, homeland security, and foreign policy. They're not a completely easy fit together, mm-hmm. but I think that the theme, Make America Safe, is a very sensible one. I thought it went off pretty well. I thought that they made two mistakes, but let me say first what I thought the high point
okay,
was.
Good.
Rudy Giuliani.
All right, saw him, yeah.
Rudy Giuliani is deeply respected. He was before 9/11, but the way he handled 9/11 made him a national hero. What not everybody knows is that Rudy Giuliani took the crime rate in New York from astronomically high levels down to a much safer city, and not just the big crimes. The city just used to be filled with a lot of bums on the street and people urinating and lots of things. Those are coming back under the current progressive mayor, but Giuliani was very successful. He made a great speech. I thought that they had the order of the speeches wrong. I thought Melania Trump did a really good job putting her own best foot forward. She's basically a fashion model, now a mother and a philanthropist. She's a very smart, capable businesswoman in her own right. She did a perfectly fine, serviceable speech. But to have her follow Rudy Giuliani is really not fair.
Right, right.
I couldn't do it. Most people couldn't do it. Rudy Giuliani was the big star. And then they concluded with General Flynn, who was one of the top three or four intelligence officials in the United States under Obama, has been very critical of the administration. It turns out that President Obama never met with him during his entire presidency, even though he was the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency.
Was that
not a good speaker.
Was that the tone? Was the kind of idea that the current administration and Hillary Clinton have failed at keeping America safe, haven't done a good job? Was that the tone of the speeches tonight?
Exactly. They haven't. They turned the White House purple after Prince died. So the theme on the policing was, why don't they turn it blue, to commemorate all these police? No, they won't. So they really hammered home. Remember, the key here, Justin, is that Hillary is deliberately, openly running as President Obama's third term. So it's not hard. And she was a high official in the first term. So it's not hard to say, are you safer now than you were 7 years ago? And I think most people don't think they are.
So but that was the goal. I mean, were there anything, in these kind of conventions, and you know them very well, do they go out of their way to say what should be done or what the nominee is going to do to make America safer? Or is this pretty much just rile up the troops, everyone rah, 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 a bunch of speeches where it gets interrupted for standing ovations and make sure you do a good job of putting down the challenger?
Yeah, this is not the State of the Union where you lay out an agenda in some detail. This is big themes, paint with a broad brush. You've got two goals. You want to get the troops in line, and you want to send a message out to the people at home. I think they made one mistake in getting the troops in line. There was a lot of resistance to Trump from two segments, really, of the Republican Party. One was kind of the Jeb Bush, old-style, standard Republicans. They weren't going to win them over. And there was a lot of bad blood, and so a lot of those people didn't come to the convention at all.
Right.
But then there was the Ted Cruz people. They think of themselves, and a lot of Republicans do, as much more ideologically conservative than Donald Trump. And I thought some of the things that they did to deal with him, in particular, they held a voice vote on something that the Cruz people really wanted, a recorded vote. It's just kind of down in the weeds. But I thought that they would have won the recorded vote. Why not? Why kind of rub it in and make it more difficult than necessary?
You know, a lot of is there anything that should be made about the fact that Illinois delegation didn't go? I mean, obviously Bruce Rauner, but also Senator Mark Kirk. And you've seen a lot of division. You even talked about there are the Jeb Bush Democrat or Republicans that weren't going to go and weren't going to be a part of it. But at a certain point, a lot of these guys, you kind of saw Republican Governor Scott Walker from Wisconsin, who was highly sort of publicized in this. I don't know. They just feel like they kind of, you know, right, we don't really want to be here, but at the same time, we back the nominee. Is it a mistake for Republicans here in the state of Illinois to sort of put their nose up in the air and skip the convention?
I don't think their nose is up in the air. I think their nose is to the grindstone. They're looking at November. This is a blue state. There's not any way in the world that it's going to well, look, if this state goes for Trump, let me put it that way. If this state goes for Trump, he wins everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just wins it. But I think if you're Mark Kirk, you think, look, this guy will drag me down. I think the problem that it poses is really for the National Republican Party, because if they're going to win, look, their big strategy, the basic strategy that they're trying is they've lost a lot of the post Cold War elections, where national security has not been as prominent. Republicans have not done well, and they're trying to do something different this year. Not deliberately; it's just because Trump won. They're not going after all the same states they used to go to. They're not trying. It looks like they won't win Virginia. They won't win Colorado. Those are always the states they're trying to get. They never get Pennsylvania. And yet with Trump, that's going to be their strategy. They're going to go across the old Rust Belt. And so what they've got to be concerned about is whether or not the Illinois delegation not coming in represent something that will be a problem for them when they try to carry Ohio and middle of Pennsylvania.
Right.
That's going to be their concern. They're going to try to get Wisconsin. I mean, it would have been disastrous for them if Scott Walker had not come.
So essentially, they don't need Illinois, so it's not that big of a deal to sort of twist arms to get them here.
No, yeah, I mean, Cleveland. I think that's right. And I think Mark Kirk had initially endorsed Trump. I don't think he was going to the convention, but he had endorsed him. And then Trump made that horrific attack, a scurrilous attack, on a judge of Mexican-American background. And, you know, Trump managed to drive Mark Kirk out of his out of an endorsement.
Charles Lipson, political science professor at the University of Chicago and a regular here on the Download and WGN Radio. Charles, thanks for taking the time out. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Justin.
This is a Download here on WGN Radio. Some sports news for you. Bulls' Denzel Valentine hitting an OT buzzer beater to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 84-82 to win the Summer League Championship. And you thought it was all washed up, Pete Zimmerman. The rookie Bulls have done it. They've won the summer league practice. All right, back to our main story. Talking about the RNC, of course, wrapping up what happened at the Republican National Convention. Day one We didn't get a chance to watch it, so we assigned some of our friends to watch it for us, including a man who was on this program earlier in the 7 o'clock hour, Chris Roebling. He joins us now on the line. Chris, doing double duty tonight.
Hey, Justin, happy to do it. Really enjoyed those speeches. How about you?
Well, I didn't see him, so I was doing the show. So tell us, what were the highlights? Give us a couple highlights from the speeches.
Well, Donald Trump spoke for, I think, 43 seconds. That's got to be a record, a real highlight. He came out to Queen, you know, we are the champions. And looked like something from the, you know, the World Wrestling Federation or something. But no, he was terrific. He just kind of, you know, was a silhouette with the smoke and the dry ice or whatever. Anyway, he brought on Melania, and you know, Melania did a terrific job. She obviously had rehearsed. She was prepared. She was ready. She wasn't too nervous. You know, all of that. Posing in front of cameras with no clothes or not very many clothes on, you know, it gives her a lot of confidence when she's out in the big light.
It's after 10 o'clock, Chris Roebling, right?
Yeah, she looked great. Let me tell you, and I've even gotten some tweets from Democrats saying that we win in the attractive spouse category.
How was her speech? 9.9. I mean, she was pretty. From what I could tell, she did fine. Twitter said it was essentially a normal RNC speech.
She's got a compelling story. She's a poor kid from Slovenia, and she used her looks and her brains to last in Milan and in Paris and the international world of fashion. Which, you know, a lot of people get chewed up and spat out by that international world of fashion. And then she said, you know, she came here 20 years ago and met Donald Trump, but 10 years ago she became a citizen. The place went crazy.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it's kind of an immigrant story, an immigrant success story. And I thought she was very touched. She was talking about everybody in society, everybody in America, what makes America great. So I thought it was a terrific speech. She did very well. And then the bottom fell out because this guy, you know, Lieutenant General Kelly, he came on, and I'm going to tell you, that watching the paint dry in the repair job over at the men's room, that guy was awful. I mean, now I know why he lost the Veep stakes. He makes Mike Pence look like Harrison Ford. I'm telling you, this guy was, and you know, the poor guy, he got out there, and I know he's a general, so he spent all of his life yelling at people, but he kind of needed a glass of water. So it was kind of this whole subtext of the Marco Rubio. Is he going to stop and slurp up some water? Now, you know,
no, it didn't happen. Well, I mean, Charles was talking right before you, Charles Lipson was talking about the star of the night was Rudy Giuliani. And really playing to the idea that keep America safe. We talked about it at 7:30. Do you feel right from tonight's first night at the RNC that they got that message across, that they are keeping America safe, or they're the party that's going to do it, and that you know, these are the right guys for the job?
I'm going to tell you, Donald Trump ought to announce tomorrow morning that if he's elected, Rudy Giuliani will be nominated to the Senate for the position of Secretary of Homeland Security. Hmm. And Giuliani, the substance of his speech was terrific. He's not the greatest, you know, convention hall speaker known to mankind. That's kind of why he started off so high the year that he ran for president. But the more people heard him, the kind of farther he fell back. But his substance was right on. And, you know, I mean, what's wrong with these miscreant tyrants around the world? I mean, normally you're able to keep those people in line, but I have to tell you, Korea's shooting off 3 missiles tonight or tomorrow morning or what's going on right now. That's just perfect for the Republican convention. It's a terrible, dangerous world out there, whether it's Nice, France, or Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I think, you know, Rudy Giuliani is the nation's mayor and the nation's future Homeland Security Secretary.
Let me ask you, you know, from your impartial, objective POV, yes, what were the lowlights tonight? I mean, obviously you called out the retired general, but I mean, was there anything that didn't hit the mark on day one?
Well, I can't say I saw all because, you know, we were together and then, you know, what I'm hearing is that the early part was a little bit, let me use one of those words from public radio that you and I once learned in the glossary, desultory, right? It was a little inchoate, right? And I think so it get, you know, it sort of cranks. How do you get the thing started? You got to start these things with a bang. But anyway, I think that Trump's coming on tonight gave it a lot of zip.
And you're okay with that? You're okay with him breaking tradition and coming out and doing it?
Oh, because Justin, he was on for 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. He said, "It is my great honor and privilege to introduce to you the next First Lady of the United States of America, Melania Trump." That was it. And then the place went nuts. He waved. She came out. He gave her a hug. She gave him a hug. And then she walked up to the lectern and he was off stage and gone. So I don't think that's any, I think it was kind of nice. Also, you got to say it was lovely to honor Melania Trump. Talked about the sacrifice of veterans. And here in the audience is former Senator Bob Dole. She referred to Bob Dole. That was beautiful. You know, Republican, a lot of Republican eyes teared up at seeing Bob, because, you know, it's been years and he's getting up there. So nice to see him. So I think it's a big night. It's a good first night. And now we're going to get a little more. I mean, Rudy was very tough on Hillary.
I was going to say, what's next? I mean, do you see yourself or do you see the convention moving in that direction where the next two nights are essentially Hillary bashing until Trump can come on and make his case on Thursday?
I think there's going to be Hillary bashing for the next two nights, yes. But I think it'll be Pence's big job to bash Hillary and to compare, you know, to kind of get the Fred Barnes article. Fred Barnes wrote a great article. Yes, she is a crook. And I think he's going to go through all those elements of these terrible things that she's done down through the ages. But I think tomorrow night there's going to be some more comparisons with Hillary because, you know, she's got to be accountable. She's got to be accountable. So these conventions, they're going to be doing it to Trump. You know that. You know they're going to be attacking Trump. And they're going to be attacking. They're going to say Pence doesn't like gay people. Nothing could be further from the truth. They're going to say Pence is, you know, exclusionary. Or they always come up with some crazy racist. That's it. You know, I'm a racist. Pence is a racist. We're all racist. You know, that's all.
No, it won't be racist. So. It'll be, he signed the religious freedom bill and then the abortion bill. So
yeah.
They'll get him
women
too.
Giuliani's a racist because he says Black Lives Matter is inherently racist. So he's a racist. You know, I think this is because contemporary liberalism can solve none of the problems that it has created. And so all they have left is name calling.
Well, there you go. You find a way to end every segment. You get like, you know, there's like a minute left and you throw out like a little bomb right at the end about what you feel right as I have to go to break. It's like you're really good at it. You're good at it.
Republicans have feelings, too. Mainly we have feelings of utter disdain for, you know, people like Hillary Clinton.
Chris Roebling, of course, one half of the Touche, the segment we do every Monday night here, and he's going to be joining us this week to cover the Republican National Convention. We'll talk to you tomorrow night, Chris.
Terrific. Thanks, Justice. See
you. All right. Coming up after the news, we'll check in with Nathan Rabin, former editor of the AV Club, or writer for AV Club. He's covering the convention this week, pretty much outside the convention. We're also going to talk with Paris Schutz, who's a reporter here in Chicago, TV reporter at Channel 11. He's going to check in with us after the news to talk a little bit about the Illinois delegation. You know, the reporters, it's fun because you start in the morning, they have the breakfast. They have a bunch of speakers that come out, and everybody gets there, and they get their free food, eggs and bacon. Then you go down and you see, wow, they get grapefruit and orange juice. You look over there and John Cass, he's got like nine things. Rose over there, Jeff, they're just getting as much as they can.
Is that a cheese blintz?
Yeah. Give me three of those.
That's pretty good.
Now you can check Ro Khan and Anna DeVellante's Rosen. Rose there now. The Ro Khan show's there now. He's got, if you follow him on Twitter, you can see all the digs they've got. It's really cool. Like, just essentially just shoved into the corner of Radio Row. And when you go to the convention and you kind of go in the, what do you call the, you know, the grant, or what you walk around in? Yeah, the
hall?
Yeah, the hall, essentially. What is the name for that? Like where you go out there where all the food's at and stuff. But Essentially, you go out there and there's just table after table after table after table of radio stations. So it's like K1, you know, K-Talk, 1390 AM from, you know, Oxford, Mississippi. And it's a lot of that, and that's where all the radio stations are. And if you just kind of walk slowly through there, it's like you just get a – you really get a sense of everyone's show for like 3 seconds. And she's like, Obama, I'll tell you, Hillary, Trump, Bob Dole.
You just take a mic.
Yeah.
And you just run down the
– yeah.
Run down the line.
It's like you could get, you get 5 seconds for all of them. It's like a mashup. It's a talk radio mashup.
You know, Rose Cubby, his stall, if you will, looked fairly spacious.
It looks good. He's got a couple. He's been able to bring his board, and he's got a couple of computers up there. It looks good. Well, they're going to be there. Stay tuned for continuing coverage live from the WGN Convention Studios in Cleveland all this week. Coming up, Paris Schutt's going to join us. Nathan Rabin. Whew, that sounds hot. Bob Ferguson, who did a great job with Celine Neon tonight, had the greatest idea. Wellness checks. The downloads wellness checks. That's what we should do for the rest of the week. Just get rid of this RNC coverage. Go door to door checking to make sure people are okay. You know what? I mean, that's what they used to do. I mean, they just do it from the studio, but I say we take it one step further. We go door to door with the remote. Like, it's we take the Comrex with us. Knocking on doors.
Let's do it. Oh, yeah, it's going to be hot out.
All right. I guess we'll stick with the RNC coverage. One of the big stories today, of course, is who wasn't in attendance. And, of course, those are some Illinois Republicans who didn't make the trip to Cleveland. They're not going to be there. So what was the Illinois delegation breakfast and all the rah-rah today like? Well, Paris Schutt's covers politics for WTTW Chicago tonight. He joined us on the line. Are you on the bus yet, Paris?
I'm on the bus, Justin.
is it
on the COP Express outside of Russia Field.
Is it all the, like, everybody going back to the hotel? So they're like, what is Paris doing on the phone?
They're all looking at me and their eyes are like darts, but you know what? I don't care. I want to talk to you, Justin.
Thank you, Paris.
There's just too much to talk about.
So what was the day like for you? I mean, the big, the governor of Ohio came by and talked to the delegation.
Yeah.
But talk about the day from the breakfast on.
Well, the breakfast was really interesting, you know, because you mentioned all those absences. But, you know, the head of the GOP in Illinois, Tim Schneider, who's also a Cook County commissioner, got up and said, we are, what was the word? We are lock, stock, and barrel or something like that. Behind Donald Trump. There is no dissension in the ranks. There is no division. That's all just made up by the media. So it was, you know, gung-ho for Donald Trump. But, you know, you have a lot of high-ranking Republicans that aren't here, and then you have some delegates like Pat Brady, the former GOP chairman, and then David Harris, who's a state rep from Arlington Heights, who don't want to vote for Trump, and they still are going to vote for Kasich, even though they resign to the fact that Trump is the nominee. So the party's doing its best to appear unified, but there still are these divisions sort of within the ranks. And there's the Trump delegates, you know, 50 or so of them, they're all kind of newbies to this.
Right.
You know, they aren't your average political people. They're you know, a teacher from Elmhurst and a fireman from Chicago, and not your typical big money supporters or donors that you usually see at these events. So it's a motley crew of people coming together trying to sort of be kludged together as one unified party.
Well, the concept was to sort of, that was the idea from the get-go for the Illinois delegation. Governor Kasich comes through. He wants to give that as well. But then he starts talking to media, and it's not the same message.
Well, it's funny. Right after the whole gung-ho, we're gung-ho for Trump, they go meet up with John Kasich, who comes in and sort of positions himself as the anti-Trump. Says, look, now, he doesn't mention Trump by name, but he's like, I believe in a Republican politics that's inclusive, that expands our reach, that does it while still holding true to our principles. And that seemed to be the opposite message than what we heard of a lot tonight in the convention. I mean, you know, there was a lot of law and order, and it was a lot of, kind of anger and anger at the last 4 years or 8 years. And Kasich has tried to be like, you know, hey, I don't have to be angry to be a good conservative. So it was weird that he was kind of saying there's another way, and it's the non-Trump way.
Yeah. Talk about being inside the arena tonight. How was the excitement? I mean, be there as a media. There's so much media there that you look yeah. up and you see the lights, and you guys are doing stuff, and you know PBS.
All they want to really do is pet Will Blitzer's beard, and they can get to do that. And security, oh yeah, no. I mean, it's just swarmed with media, and being on the floor is just fascinating. The best is the Texas delegation. They're all wearing jeans and cowboy hats and mm-hmm. and chaps and boots and all that. So it's always easy to spot them. I was able to spot Chris Christie, the New Jersey governor, kind of sitting, you know, kind of scrolling through his email on his phone, not really looking up at the speech. And then I think the CNN reporter, Dana Bash, had some exclusive interview. And we're like, you know, you're in the middle of the convention floor, so we all kind of like crowded up on it and stuck our phones, you know, right, in his face to try and get some sound bites, like as if we were, you know, hey, I'm interviewing Chris Christie, and he was saying, hey, no hard feelings, Donald Trump, I'm totally at peace with not being the VP, and then another interesting sight was Bob Dole sitting right next yeah. to Donald Trump Jr. Because as I remember, Bob Dole was not a Trump supporter, but. And perhaps he's even coming into the fold now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for you being there, I mean, obviously the Melania Trump and Rudy Giuliani were the big draws. But, you know, there's so yeah. much going on. Talk about the Illinois delegation. Where are they located on the floor?
They've got a plum spot. They're right behind New Jersey. And they're right in the center. You know, I took a couple pictures of it. It's got a point-blank view of the stage. So it's a plum spot, but there are no Illinois delegates that are actually speaking at the convention.
Right.
So that shows you how much the National Party thinks of some of Illinois' finest. And 4 years ago, as I remember, there were no Illinoisans speaking at the Republican National Convention. So, you know, if you look at Wisconsin, you know, they have a ton. They had state reps. They have senator. They have Scott Walker. They have Paul Ryan. Illinois is doing a hard job. It's not doing a great job sort of breaking through to that next level of national recognition.
Yeah. Well, Paris, I mean, you're on the bus back to the hotel, so hopefully the bars are still open. I know that it's Monday night in Cleveland. I don't know what the bar time is, and it's late. It's already 11:43. That's just not fair.
Yeah, no, I think the bars are going to be open until Friday. You know, nonstop, 24/7. I'm going to try and just go right to the room, although it passes the hotel bar. So
you never know.
You never know what
you
happens.
Never know what's going to be in there, right? It is.
Because we got to be up at 8 a.m. tomorrow. Guess who's speaking to the Illinois delegation
who?
Tomorrow?
Who?
Your favorite actress from Clueless, Stacey Dash.
Oh.
Who? If you know, if you came
strange,
of age
yeah.
in a certain era.
Right.
Stacey Dash was a very, very important figure in your life as a young American.
There are going to be a lot of people in there. A lot of older Republican delegates are like, who? Who's this? Well,
right.
And you're going to be like, I'll get the exclusive. I'd love to talk to you, Ms. Dash. Ms. Dash.
Exactly. Breaking exclusive Stacey Dash. And Stacey Dash says, thank you for watching me when you were in your teens.
Well, Paris, get your beauty sleep tonight because it's going to be a big morning. We'll hope that maybe we can check in with you later in the week so we can get an update on
sure.
how the Stacey Dash interview went.
No. Yeah, yeah. Well, if you don't see me on the air the next few days,
you know where you're
maybe
at.
We were up and left.
Yeah, you went back to Hollywood.
Right.
Paris Schuetz is the political reporter for Chicago Tonight on WTTW Channel 11. Thanks for checking in from Cleveland, Paris. We appreciate it.
Okay. Yep, thanks. All the best, Justin.
It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11. Patty Vasquez takes over at 11. Pretty late with Patty Vasquez. Joining me now on the line, I'm so happy to have him. He has been cracking me up all night on Twitter. Nathan Rabin, author, freelance writer, and dude pimping his crowdsourcing campaign to cover the RNC gathering. Nathan, good to talk to you, man. How are you?
Good, good, good. And I would like to shamelessly specify that it is a GoFundMe campaign.
Good. That's good to know.
Totally check out. Look up Nathan Raven. Please give me money. I feel like I'm begging for it. And I'm very dignified. Very respectful.
I've heard crowdsourcing for books, for music, for films, but crowdsourcing covering a convention, that's new.
Well, it's going to be sort of a booklet, I guess would be kind of a good word for it. I'm hoping to write kind of like the nonfiction equivalent of like a novella. And yeah, it's kind of a very ambitious idea. Every year, being a respectable journalist, I cover the Gathering of the Juggalos, the Insane Clown Posse's annual festival of arts and music. And this year I realized that because the Gathering of the Juggalos is only 2 hours away from the Republican National Convention, I could cover both in the same magical.
They're about the same, right? Let's be honest.
You know, that's kind of my thesis kind of going in. There's an insane amount of commonalities between the Gathering of the Juggalos and the Republican National Convention. The big difference, I think, is that people have more respect for juggalos.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Whereas Trump supporters are kind of rightly derided as the worst people in the world.
Well, I mean, let's talk about your day.
Nonpartisan.
Yeah, of course. Well, let me ask you about your day, because, I mean, obviously people come to the convention, they go into the Quicken Loan Arena. For you, you spend a lot of your time outside, not necessarily covering the protests of any sort. You're just sort of taking in what you're seeing, the people that come to a political convention.
Well, that's the thing. That's another kind of commonality between the gathering and the convention is it's a spectacle. It's kind of this crazy, crazy circus. It's kind of a sideshow. You kind of have the main event, you know, sort of the big top where Donald Trump is the, you know, clown in chief. And then you have all these like weird little people kind of doing their own show, their own weird little performance art things. It's a kind of a happening. There's something very, you know, on one level it's kind of new because there's never been a politician like Donald Trump, in part because it seems weird and not entirely accurate to call him a politician. I've never been to this. And actually the last time a Raven went to a convention, my dad drove some delegates around in Chicago in 1968. So every 48 years or so, one of us has to go to one of these places, and we hope that a riot doesn't break out.
Well, I mean,
heaven knows, it'd be really interesting to write about.
I mean, the one thing about a political convention, you're right, it does attract a kind of carnival atmosphere in the way that there's so many people coming to that really don't have anything to do with the political landscape that's happening inside the arena. They're really just there to push their agenda. A lot of times it's around social issues, religion, whatever, what have you. It's on both sides of the aisle, but that's sort of what you encountered today. I saw a lot of tweeting about the Jesus Saves crowd.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's part of it. I kind of feel like one of the things that Trump has done was he has kind of liberated his followers to kind of indulge their worst instincts. He's kind of allowed them to embrace homophobia, embrace being transphobic, embrace racism and homophobia in all its different forms. And, you know, I think there's a fair number of the sort of Jesus people who kind of flock to everything. Even, you know, last year at the Gathering of the Juggalos, I hung out a lot at the Juggalos for Jesus tent, and I got to say, they were lovely human beings. The Christians screaming about homosexuals going to hell through bullhorns here, not so much. But again, you see all these, you know, sort of weird characters who kind of gravitate to this sort of situation. There's a gentleman named Vermin Supreme, who I believe runs for president every 4 years, and sort of all the political reporters sort of know him, and yeah, he was kind of accosting people as they left to the Quicken's arena. So yeah, the other weird thing is, you know, people think that the gathering is a very dark, weird, violent place,
right?
But I've found it to be very loving and accepting. This I have found to be a very weird, dark place, and there's just a lot of weird vibes. There's a lot of visceral anger. You know, and it's anger that's, you know, sort of directed towards, you know, these sort of scapegoated people at kind of the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. You know, a lot of anti-Muslim rage, a lot of, you know, anti-Black Lives Matter. I mean, yeah, the hatred towards Black Lives Matter and towards Hillary Clinton seemed just incredibly disproportionate. It just seems like so vicious and so feral and so over the top. It's disconcerting, and watching the convention from the Washington Post lounge to be like a real hippie liberal, I found myself getting really, really angry. I think I've always gotten
angry at the anger.
Exactly. And the weird thing about it too is like the more they talked about Hillary Clinton as being, you know, a Stalin reincarnated as being evil. In the flesh, the more I'm like, you know, I've underestimated Hillary Clinton. She's pretty great. I'm going to donate to her campaign. They have actually pushed me into the arms.
They pushed you the other way.
Previously, I was just kind of ambivalent about it. I'm like, I will vote for her. I will not be overly excited about voting for her, but I will do it because, you know, the other option is completely unimaginable. But yeah, they've radicalized at least one person.
The one thing that's from the culture of it, and you know, you're only on day one. You're going to be there the whole time. There is a tremendous amount of I guess pop culture celebrity around. I mean, whether it be
but it is.
I mean, and you're part of that. But
that's very generous of you to say.
Yeah,
I met Tim Heidecker.
There you go. See,
asked by Eric Andre, both of which was really cool. Both of them are doing like weird, interesting things here at the convention. And I would say that they're both way more famous and definitely more worthwhile and more talented than the array of C-list celebrities that they kind of sadly paraded in front of the public.
Right.
And what the heck was going on with Rudy Giuliani? I thought his head was just going to explode, you know, like something from Scanners. He got so upset. Yeah, it's hard to remember.
He got really upset at his own words. That's the other thing. There's no conversation. It's just him getting upset.
Honestly, part of me was like, God, I'm just kind of waiting for somebody to like drop a racial epithet. There's just so much anger and so much fury, and people are getting so excited. And yeah, I mean, it's just it's so personal. And to start things off with, you know, this grieving mother shaking with rage, calling Hillary Clinton the woman who murdered her son. It's just so dark and so vicious, so personal. And again, it's weird to think that, you know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, the Clintons and the Trumps were friends.
Yeah, right.
You know, the Clintons went to, you know, Donald Trump's wedding. So it's just interesting to see Melania Trump talking about how incredibly loyal Donald Trump is to all his friends at a thing that literally seems the goal is to get people to try to, you know, form a lynch mob and then kill. I mean, they were saying, you know, that she deserves to be in prison. Yeah, just the amount of like misogyny and vitriol. It's ugly. Like there's just a lot of ugliness.
Do you treat this sort of, I mean, obviously you're working, but do you treat it almost like you're a tourist in a foreign land and you have to plan your day? Do you already think about what you're going to check out tomorrow?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, you have to do that. You have to be deliberate. I think probably because I'm going to say, let's run a secret here. I'm not a real journalist. I'm just kind of a weird guy who likes doing interesting things and is letting to put himself out there. So, yeah, I definitely have to kind of plan things. I've kind of been looking for protests.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping, you know, because those would be kind of heated and colorful. And so far, I'm pretty disappointed with the protesting. And the protesters I have encountered, they're a little bit, they seem a little bit like, leftovers. You know, the anarchists. And a lot of people here are very into hugging as kind of the antithesis of everything that Donald Trump represents. A lot of people also just doing kind of like weird kind of meta stuff. There were a pair of people from PETA who, for reasons I guess they only know, were dressed up like nuns, and they were walking around on stilts. I'm not really sure why exactly nuns on stilts would discourage people from treating animals poorly, but it apparently made sense to them.
But that's a beauty. That's the beauty of this sideshow, this carnival that is a political convention on both sides of the aisle. It's tremendous, tremendous. I guess voyeurism slash, you know.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It's amazing to watch the people that come out to this.
Yeah, oh, very much so. And you know, last time that I was at the gathering, I actually went to the whole full-on juggalo, and I put on, you know, the whole face paint. Mm-hmm. They're nice people who can do it for $15. And today I thought, like, man, I'll do something a little bit similar. So I bought a Donald Trump Make America Great Again hat, and I was wearing it, and I felt really dirty. And I felt like I was like lying to myself and lying to the world. And somebody was like, oh, hey, cool, you support Trump. And I kind of wanted to be like, no, I don't. I'm only doing this as some weird experiment. And because this is like one of the premiums on my crowdfunding campaign. But at the same time, like, it's hard to watch, you know, that mother as shrill and angry and filled with rage, yeah, and, you know, condemning his friends. It's hard not to feel for her and these people who've experienced so much pain. But, you know, as somebody, I think on CNN was saying, you know, there's, you can feel for somebody's pain, you can feel for somebody's anguish and be really repelled by the conclusions that they draw from that anger and from that rage. And then also, when you have that kind of just raw burning emotion, a lot of times it's not really rational, it's not really logical, it's not, you know, subtle or kind of worked out. So you, again, when she was kind of like screaming with rage about how Hillary Clinton, you know, murdered her son, it was, yeah, I mean, it was deeply moving and utterly jarring at the same time, which is kind of, then yeah, kind
that's
of
probably the point, right?
Yeah,
Nathan. Yeah, Nathan Rabin is. You can find his GoFundMe page. He's looking for a crowdsourcing campaign to cover his expenses for the RNC and the Gathering of the Juggalos, which is right only down the street this year. Nathan Rabin, author, freelance writer, and all around Chicagoan, even though he doesn't live here anymore. Nathan Rabin, we got to check in again before the convention's out. Okay.
Awesome. Sounds
awesome.
Great.
Thanks, Nathan.
Always a pleasure.
Take care.
Awesome. Have a great night. Bye.